Hello and welcome back to the Rheum Madness podcast. This is a place for everyone who is crazy about rheumatology to connect, collaborate, compete, and learn together. My name is David Leverins, and I'm delighted to invite you back into our last podcast of the season three, the all-star season of Rheum Madness, which was so fun. And I'm joined by an amazing crew for this podcast. We have two Blue Ribbon panel members joining us for this podcast. Julian Ingus, you want to say hi?
Hey, David. Thanks for inviting me.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, so that's Dr. Julie Pake and Dr. Angus Worthing, who are amazing Blue Ribbon panel members. And we will say this at the end, but so, so thankful to our Blue Ribbon panel for everything that they did to help our tournament run smoothly. Give us a little bit of controversy as we went through the tournament, which is always a good thing. So we'll hear from them a little bit later about what it was like to be on the Blue Ribbon panel. I'm also joined by Nina, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself so people know who you are. Nina was some of the brains behind our collaboration with themednet.org this year and the content there. So Nina, you want to say hi?
Hi, everyone. My name's Nina. I'm a community rheumatologist in Columbus, Ohio. And as David said, I am the rheumatology deputy editor at themednet.
Fabulous. So it's so fun having content related to Rheum Madness on the MedNet, and it was really great working with them. And she's going to share a little bit about some resources that you can continue to explore to learn more about the concepts in this tournament. And then some amazing members of our leadership team. We have a big leadership team, and you saw some of it on Twitter or in the newsletter of how many people work together to put this together. But I'm just going to have him briefly say hello. So we have Lauren He.
Hi, David.
Welcome back. Guy Katz.
Hey, everyone.
Is very happy that he finally picked the actual winner of Rheum Madness.
Thank goodness.
Sabahat.
Hey, everyone.
And then Aki.
Hello, hello.
Great. All right. So that's the crew. So the first thing we're going to do is just recap the tournament. So we're recording this the day after the tournament concluded. So we named our champion, which was Cortisone, which was not a shocker. About half of participants picked Cortisone as the champion of Rheum Madness, despite my tutorial pleading with people not to pick Cortisone. People did not listen to me and still picked it, and so did the Blue Ribbon panel. This was a really fun tournament. You know, it was the all-star season. We had an amazing collection of articles that were really key articles in the history of rheumatology, and I think we all had fun exploring them and just kind of re-engaging with these historical articles and considering what they meant when they were written and what they mean now and what they mean for the future. And it really taught me a lot. So yeah, I just wanted to start by opening it up to the people on this podcast to just tell us what their reflection is from the tournament now that we know the results, what the Blue Ribbon panel chose. So what are some of your favorite moments of the tournament, maybe on social media or just some of the surprising results that you had? I'm gonna start with Guy, because Guy never has any strong opinions about Rheum Madness and the results. So Guy, you were totally cool with everything that happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty indifferent to all of it. You know, it is what it is. I think the Blue Ribbon panel was phenomenal this year. They're, you know, phenomenal every year, of course. But I think this year's Blue Ribbon panel was especially brave because this was a difficult set of teams to pin against each other. And after the heat that last year's Blue Ribbon panel took, in part from me, but from others as well, I think it was very brave of them to volunteer for this. I was very, very pleased with how it all went. I didn't guess everything correctly, far from it, but even the ones that I got wrong, I kind of ended up agreeing with the Blue Ribbon panel upon further reflection. So I think they did a really great job. Personally, I was kind of surprised at myself about choosing Cortisone, I did not think that I was going to choose it going into the tournament. And I just kind of, my instinct was we hate prednisone. Everything about rheum madness and about rheumatology these days is all about let's do less and less prednisone and prednisone side effects, prednisone toxicities. But when you, you know, really have to think about it and what cortisone has done for our field and where we would be without it, I think it just made itself the clear winner. So that was great. My favorite moment from the tournament, I would say, was Tamar Rubenstein's amazing thread about Roombot and how ChatGPT was able to come up with some pretty amazing rheumatology team names. So if you haven't seen that on Twitter, definitely recommend checking that out.
Oh yeah, that was amazing. Was it like the Vexus Vixens or something? Vasculitis Vixens, the Gout Goblins? Yeah.
So great.
I think those are some great ideas for some Rheum Madness mascots for next year.
Yes. And speaking of the folks up at Geisinger who wrote a scouting report for the MSU and NLRP3 team, just posted actually this amazing like flag that they made, which it had their Inflamma Soma Jamma Soam alternate team name like emblazoned on it, and that famous picture of, you know, the little gout, I guess the gout goblin, you know, biting the toe. Oh, it was so good. So yeah, we definitely need some mascots next year.
I saw that. That was really amazing. I was like, was that like, where did they get that from? Did they hand make it or like what? It was really impressive. Right?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I just really enjoyed how into it people got. And I mean, you know, learning can be fun. And, you know, this tournament kind of, you know, gets people all riled up in a way that they get excited about it. I mean, I remember Iman Kaiser, she posted their fellowship program at LSU Shreveport, this little quick video of their teaching session where they were kind of debating the teams. And it just made me so happy. I mean, so happy. And that's one of the things that we heard from a lot of people, that not only did they engage again this year, but they kind of enveloped it into their practice or their fellowship program as like a piece of their didactics, which is so cool. And on the last podcast, we even had, you know, an educator in the Philippines tell us that she had used the scouting reports as teaching materials for her fellows, which just made me so happy that, you know, there's peer teaching happening fellows to fellows all the way around the world, which is a dream.
This is Angus here on the social media posts. There was almost a theme of advocating for what you do for a living or your disease. Some, I think some patient voices came out, which was unexpected to me, because it's an educational kind of fun sporting tournament. But JIA, you know, took out in the first round as kind of was expected. But and that might just be because there aren't as many kids or aren't as many pediatric rheumatologists on the Blue Ribbon panel, whatever. Sjogren's and spondyloarthritis made like some advocacy posts. That was something I didn't expect, but that was really interesting and important. I thought that people were saying, hey, even though this is the all-star season, you know, the thing I do or the thing I have or whatever is really important. And it sort of elevated their approach. So I like that.
Totally agree. Yeah, I totally welcome for everyone to submit, you know, different ideas for what we can do in future tournaments. Yes, advocating for spondyloarthritis and Sjogren's, two incredibly important conditions. And, you know, I think this is kind of the spirit of Rheum Madness, is a conversation about what we can all learn together when we teach each other, when we show each other what we think is important, and share our experiences. And so, you know, Rheum Madness has never been about, you know, we're going to come to you with a set, you know, set of principles that, you know, we would like you to learn X, Y, and Z. You know, this season in particular was the first time we just completely opened it up to anyone who wanted to submit a team. And we said, what do you want to see in the tournament? And, you know, that's why we had 22 teams and not 16, is because people got excited about that. And I'd love to continue seeing that. in the future. You know, we'd love to have, you know, Neff Madness has patients on their Blue Ribbon panel. I'd love to see that. We'd love to see more pediatric fellowship programs writing scouting reports in Rheum Madness. You know, so if you're listening to this and you're a pediatric rheumatologist or med peds or just love the idea of pediatric rheumatology, you know, just contact us. We would love to see those teams in the tournament next year. Yeah.
I also liked how I saw a lot of I guess pre-med or medical students or residents also posting. And I think that just, I think it's a testament to what this Rheum Madness is to, you know, drive that excitement for rheumatology, because we're in dire need, I think, in the future. So I think, you know, a lot of the younger folks, I still consider myself young, I guess, you know, are on social media. And I think this is just a wonderful way to interact. But of course, beyond social media, you listed all the other things. So I think this is great to, you know, generate interest.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, so we had three abstracts about Rheum Madness at ACR last year, and Lauren led one of them. And Lauren found that when we analyzed the educational experience in Rheum Madness of early learners, like residents and medical students, versus more advanced learners, like attendings and fellows, not only did we see that universally people that were early learners, like medical students and residents, say that Rheum Madness increased their interest in rheumatology, but that they actually had a better experience or a higher experience of the social presence. And in particular, questions about feeling like they're enveloped into the community of rheumatology, which is so fun to see using this community of inquiry framework to kind of assess that. But that, you know, we can kind of find a way for people who are interested in rheumatology to feel like they're a part of this amazing rheumatology learning community that we have, not just on social media, like you said, but just kind of in general. I mean, rheumatologists are the best. And that was so fun to see. And I'd love to see more of that. And, you know, I mean, part of that is reflected on this leadership panel. So, you know, Sabahat, you know, you got involved as a resident. I think on an earlier podcast, you said you were just Googling rheumatology stuff and you found Rheum Madness, and here you are on the leadership team. So Sabahat, what about you? What was your experience in the tournament like this year?
So this year, yes, there weren't as many surprises with the Blue Ribbon panel like last year. I was kind of surprised that HCQ dropped out pretty quickly. And then, you know, urate lowering therapy as well. But I kind of did agree with them. I did vote for ULT, but I agreed with the Blue Ribbon panel on that. And as I was going along and I kind of was inching towards cortisone and I was picking it, and I was very nervous because Guy had picked it and I wasn't sure if it was going to win or not. But I decided to take a chance.
I was nervous about picking it too. Don't worry.
It was close. It was only 4-3. So, wow. You know, yeah. I mean, the Blue Ribbon panel barely had an upset with the Tanercept, and which, I mean, yeah, would have thrown people in a frenzy, I think. But I would have been here for it. That sounds great. I don't know. I mean, Julie and Angus, I mean, are you willing to tell us what you thought about the end of the tournament? What do you think about Cortisone being the victor?
Well, yes, I'm willing to admit now that the chips are all down. I was the vote for 4-3. I hope it was my vote deciding the whole thing, because I'd like to think of it that way. It's exciting to be reading these and then voting in secret. Many people might not know we don't talk, or I don't think anybody did. And then you find out a day or two, a couple of days later from David, what the next matchups are, and you then realize who won and lost. And I was surprised that it was 4-3 for sure, that everybody picked Cortisone. I think you said something like 40 or 50, I don't know, some high percentage of people picked it as the winner. But yet each matchup, I would think, that Cortisone went through, I would consider that matchup pretty carefully. I did not vote for Cortisone in one of the, it was interesting to be on the minority of a 6-1 vote a couple of times, where I use patient reported outcomes, and I thought HAC, I use it on every single patient. I thought HAC was going to be much more durable in our, you know, careers. I was obviously not correct, but I think hopefully I added, I let the team know that they added value to the tournament by writing the article. Anyway, those are some thoughts on Blue Ribbon Panel. I would just also say being on the Blue Ribbon Panel, I really appreciate, David. I hope you know that how fun it is for us to do this, all the work that goes into it, and the whole leadership team. This is the best I can analogize it. This is like a reverse journal club where you are one person in your study or in your backyard or whatever, reading all these articles, reading all these scouting reports, and you're the audience of one. And all these like famous people and smart people are writing up the all-star articles just for you. I mean, they're really for everybody else to read and learn about, but they're kind of lobbying you, you Blue Ribbon Panel. Belinda said, you look great. Little hints. That was really special. So I really had a great time. And thanks to all the Scouting Report writers. They were great.
That's awesome. Thanks for being brave and telling us what you thought. Jill, you came off
music. Yeah.
What do you think?
So I will be brave. So I changed my cortisone vote. Initially, I was for it. And this last one, I was like, oh, going back and forth. And I was like, I just can't. You know, I'm like, I do my ascites and scleroderma. And so I was against. So I was for etanercept for RA. I'm like, you know, for scleroderma, we're like, we never want to use any steroids, right? So because of renal crisis, obviously. But so it was hard. But ultimately, I went with this seminal article for etanercept for RA. But taking a step back, there was one, I think I was following on Twitter, and Eric Dine, who did his training at Hopkins, was like, I hope you pull through for the Cytoxan for scleroderma. And then I totally did not vote for that one because I'm like, that is an old study and we do not use Cytoxan anymore. And it's just, we have SLS 1, 2, 3, right? And I just couldn't vote for that one. But I know it was one of the pivotal studies initially, but we just don't use it anymore. So for me, I couldn't vote, even though it was Eric. You know, I love Eric.
but it was so much fun. Yeah. Awesome. You know, I mean, that just shows you. I thought I had you figured out. You know, we knew your research interests. It's like,
oh that's right. That was hilarious. The hack one. Yeah. I think I voted for it once, and I think the second time around I didn't. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, that just shows you can't predict the panel. So not even us. Well, again, we're so thankful for your engagement on both of your service on the panel and for your colleagues who also served on the panel. I mean, I'm glad it's fun, and we also know it takes a lot of time. So we just really appreciate what the amount of time that you put into it, because even though it is fun and games, you know, we know that, you know, people take it seriously and read the scouting reports and look at the articles and think about it deeply. And I'm really thankful that you all engaged, and I think our participants really learned a lot from you. And in particular, you know, you were the first Blue Ribbon panel that we asked to kind of explain your thought process when you felt it was necessary. And we got a lot of comments from you all, and I think participants really enjoyed reading through those as they kind of learned about the results. And, you know, I just, it kind of, from an educational perspective, I think it kind of helps solidify the learning, you know, like this was important because of this, this is important because of this, in a win-loss situation where your bracket is also destroyed. So
hopefully I don't know. It didn't matter that we didn't just pick based on the number of basketball references and sporting puns and we actually read the articles. And, but to future report, I think there was one excellent scouting report that had like zero or one references. I just want to make a small plug before moving on. Future scouting reports, like fill your article with as many, you know, fun facets from basketball or other sports, because it might make the difference, although it probably shouldn't.
Aki, tell us what you thought about the tournament this year.
Yes, I'm happy to. I'm really, really pleased with the results. I always get amazed by the unpredictability of kind of what ends up happening. I kind of want to piggyback on a couple of other comments that were made, that I really appreciate having some insider knowledge from the Blue Ribbon panel members. It's so nice to hear your perspectives. And I always love hearing that, like, who's that one person or two people that voted against, like, differently from the rest. That's so amazing to hear. And it's so true of how rheumatology works in clinical practice. There's always those one or two people that think differently. So I really appreciate that. It's really reflective of our field. And another comment that I just wanted to make, you know, like March Madness, Rheum Madness is such an maybe American, unique American thing. And it was so interesting to read some of the tweets from our non-American rheumatology colleagues and their reactions, some of them for the first time being exposed to this tournament and its unique components and how it worked. And I really appreciated that we're engaging such an international audience, and they're seeing all the weird stuff that we do in America, and how we learn. And I appreciate that. I think it was really nice to see that on Twitter.
Yeah, totally agree. So fun. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're so stuck to this March Madness kind of spinoff, but definitely want to encourage any international listeners to not be afraid of that base that we have. And it's basically just a single elimination tournament. That's it. And we had bracket submissions from people in 13 different countries this year, which is so cool. So, you know, just we'll see what happens next year. But, you know, we continue to grow. And I agree. It is kind of fun to see that. I mean, that really is what Rheum Madness is about, is having a conversation about our different perspectives about these topics. And then through that, we learn together. And potentially even build knowledge that didn't even exist in anyone's brains because we built it together through that conversation. So I think that's really, really great.
So I guess from a trainee's perspective, I think most of what I hear is all about steroid sparing agents and kind of getting away from corticosteroids in general. So I may be in the minority, but I did not think that cortisone was going to go very far. So I think, I mean, even from a learner's perspective, that was kind of interesting to remember to go back to the roots of kind of, you know, seeing all of these different pivotal moments within the history of rheumatology. So that was pretty cool. And I will say, I'm really happy that an article from the origin story won, because those were, to me, by far like the most fun, both scouting reports and original articles to read. The origins of RA describing regular gout attacks brought on by dietary indiscretions or acute afflictions of the soul. It was like reading stories, and it made it so fun and so interesting for me and engaging. So I was really, really thrilled to see that, you know, something from that region kind of came out on top.
Yeah, that's fabulous. You know, I'm, you know, so Lauren is a chief resident and, you know, 2B rheumatology fellow, which I'm excited for you, Lauren, you're going to be great. And I don't know, I kind of wish I knew all of these articles going into rheumatology when I was starting training. I feel like it would have been an amazing foundation on which I could build everything else as I was learning. And so I'm really hoping that trainees that are engaged in this tournament really take advantage of the fact that you kind of now know like what our foundation is. And so, you know, when you read, you know, the latest trial, you can, you know, you follow the references of that, you follow the references of that, you follow that reference train, and you're probably going to come back to one of these articles. And I think that's a really fun thing. So that's great.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we really get such little kind of exposure to rheumatology, even in residency, unless you seek it out. So I think this is just a great way to go back to the origins of everything and get a good sense of kind of how we got to be where we are today.
Totally. Well, you know, I mean, I have to say, so I don't know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, the panel did great. You know, there's going to be a lot of participants out there that are probably yelling at their headphones. I mean, there was a lot of pandemonium in the early rounds. I mean, at the later rounds, I will grant, like went to the way that participants expected them to, but I'm just thinking about the first round where we had six matchups. It was kind of the last six in, if you will. And four of those six matchups were decided by a single vote. And then in the next round, half of the matchups are what we would consider an upset. So where the participants disagreed with the panel. So, you know, I'm sorry, Angus, but, you know, most people picked Tyr triple therapy, that trial over Tycora. And then the panel was really going for Tycora, even though you couldn't vote. I don't know, like your spirit was like, you know, propping up Tycora.
They had no problem taking them out 5-1 against what I was proud was an eventual championship participant. But thank you, Blue Ribbon Panel, for letting us go into the Sweet 16. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, was it the Princeton of the, you know, of this tournament? I don't know. you know, but yeah, and then clonal selection, you know, the panel universally chose that. And then participants really went for MSU and NLRP3. So a lot of love for Gout out there in our participants. So that was really interesting to see. Yeah, I mean, you know, Julie, I mean, most people actually pick cyclophosphamide and scleroderma over cyclophosphamide for necrotizing vasculitis. But, you know, psych for necrotizing vasculitis went pretty far. So, yeah, and I don't know. And, you know, the HAC versus Lumina trial, I mean, that was such a hard, you know, the whole patient region was, those teams were amazing. And, you know, my hat is off to the fellows from Northwestern who just really, really brought it with their scouting report for Lumina. So, yeah. Well, so Nina, I want to throw it to you because this year we had a collaboration with the MedNet and I was so excited. You know, we met at the ACR to talk about it. And, you know, we were, you know, like, how can we engage together? You know, that we're, there's amazing content on the MedNet. How does that work with Room Madness? But you and your team really put together some amazing content that was related to Room Madness. So, Nina, could you just tell people what that is and where to find it and what that content is all about?
Yes, yes, I would love to. And I think, you know, part of this initial idea for this collaboration kind of stemmed from, we kind of share this similar mission as far as, you know, connecting rheumatologists or anyone who loves rheumatology and really wanting to share that knowledge to help provide better care for our patients. But what the MedNet is, if you're unfamiliar, is a free physician-only website where you can go to ask clinical questions and get answers from different experts in the field. Often these are answers to questions that are maybe not easily found in, you know, PubMed or UpToDate or in textbooks. The website originally started in oncology, but has continued to expand to different medical subspecialties. And rheumatology specifically has a really large presence on the site, which I think goes a lot with us kind of living in this gray area in rheumatology in general, where a lot of kind of questions come from. And so for our collaboration with Room Madness, we had a lot of great questions come through related to the concepts in the tournament and had a lot of great expert and insightful like comments as well. For example, if you were devastated by the loss of hydroxychloroquine withdrawal, one of the most popular questions we actually had on the site was kind of asking, you know, this question, should we ever consider discontinuing hydroxychloroquine in patients who have lupus but are in, you know, sustained remission? And we have a great in-depth answer from one of our lupus experts discussing this and if this should, you know, even ever be a consideration in it, and if it is, who would be the best candidates. I'll also highlight that while there might not have been a lot of love for gout in the tournament itself, there's definitely a lot of love for gout on the MedNet. So there were some questions about, you know, who should we be initiating urate lowering therapy and gout flares, as well as this great discussion about like the use of IL-1 inhibitors in crystalline arthritis and how people approach that in their practice. And then we had a few other questions, you know, about what do you do with this positive ANA, but no clinical signs and symptoms, you know, of rheumatic disease, and what are people's approaches to that? Should we be monitoring ANCA titers? And a lot more. So that's kind of just a preview of what has kind of been posted related to the tournament. And all of this can be found on the website, which is just themednet.org. And you can sign up, and the questions and answer will all be there even after the tournament is over. And like David had mentioned before, you can get free CME and MOC credit, which is a nice bonus. And I have to kind of give a shout out to all of the experts who contribute to that website and provide us with, you know, these insightful answers and kind of keep the conversation going. And also a shout out to Melissa Briones, who is the medical director of the rheumatology division at the MedNet, who has really worked really hard to kind of help make this idea a reality. And I know we've had a lot of fun with this collaboration.
Yeah, we were just so thrilled to do this collaboration. And I think our participants really enjoyed. I mean, to me, I thought about it as, okay, you've read the scouting reports, you've submitted your bracket, let's take this to the next level. And, you know, these really detailed conversations. And I learned a lot from them. So thank you for all the work that you all did to put that together. I know our participants enjoyed that. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, the scouting reports still exist, you know, on the Rheum Madness website. All those questions related to Rheum Madness content exist on the MedNet website. So there's all kinds of resources that you can continue to explore related to this tournament if you just can't get enough Rheum Madness in between this season and the next. So thank you, Nina. Well, yeah, so just to round it out, I mean, this is our biggest season ever. And so, you know, as you've heard, you got 142 bracket submissions from people in 13 different countries. Just some additional stats that people, I think, would be interested to know. So, you know, as we've said before, so many people came together to write the scouting reports. I do have a slight correction. Earlier, I said about 130 people. It's actually 123. Because some people wrote, were authors on several scouting reports. So I think 123 is still a lot of people. So 123 people collaborated to write the scouting reports. That includes 76 fellows, 40 faculty, 4 residents, and 3 medical students. So building knowledge together in Rheum Madness, and that's the dream. The scouting reports were read an average of 130 times per scouting report on the rheumatology or on the Rheum Madness website. And then, you know, this podcast itself continues to grow, has over 8,000 downloads, and each of our podcast episodes has several hundred downloads per episode, even the season 3 since we started. So just so many people are engaging in this tournament. It's so much fun. And then on social media, we had 913 tweets from 163 users. So a lot of people engaging with Rheum Madness on social media. And for those of you who are not on Twitter, you can listen to this podcast and you can join our newsletter, which you can find on our website. So just to round this out, you know, we learned a ton in this tournament, and there are so many people that we need to thank. So again, I just want to thank the Blue Ribbon panel. So Julie, Angus, and everyone else that was working with you on the Blue Ribbon panel, just you're amazing. And we couldn't do this without your engagement and expertise. So thank you to our Blue Ribbon panel members. Thank you to this leadership team. So our leadership team is comprised, as you've heard on this podcast, of fellows, attendings, residents, medical students. And that's really who we want our participants to be. And so that's why our leadership team is comprised like that. This team really worked really hard behind the scenes to put this together. And we leaned on them more than ever before to make this happen. And, it was a success. So thank you all. I want to thank the Rheumatology Research Foundation. This is all possible because of a Clinician Scholar Educator Award. This is our third year of the award. And they really gave us solid footing to create this. And this would not have been possible without that award. So thankful to the Rheumatology Research Foundation for all that they do, and specifically for supporting educators through that award. This is like a drop in the bucket of the many, many, many amazing educational initiatives that have happened because of that award. So thanks to the RRF. So NEF Madness. We are modeled after another tournament called NEF Madness. And the leaders of that tournament, especially Matt Sparks, who's a nephrologist at Duke, were just so generous in allowing us to use their curricular model And I just always want to just thank them for being generous and sharing and being willing to give us advice and help us through this. So they retweet our stuff and, it's going on right now. We'll see how my bracket does. So I want to call out Mithu Maheswaranathan, who's my colleague at Duke, who is the creator of Room One Pagers, who is just an amazing educator himself, but really helped us learn about the teams, created a Room Madness Room One Pager this year, and which was, I think, a great reference for a lot of people. And he's just so talented at condensing information. And so thank you, Mithu. The editorial staff at The Rheumatologist, they have been so supportive of our what we're doing from the very beginning. So they helped us publish an article at the very beginning highlighting the tournament. Many of the scouting reports from the 2022 tournament were actually hosted on The Rheumatologist website. And just they've been so supportive of the tournament from the beginning. So thank you to Bharat Kumar and the entire editorial staff of The Rheumatologist, Phil Sayo before him. And then I just want to also thank a major mentor who reviewed this CSE grant many times in the late evenings as we put it together. And that's Lisa Crescioni-Schreiber, who is my educational mentor at Duke, who really helped all of this happen. I think it's fair to say none of this would have happened without her mentorship, advice, and support. So thank you, Lisa. And then finally, the participants. So this is a social constructivist learning activity, which is a fancy way of saying we are learning together. And the most fun thing about this tournament is getting to see what our participants think about these topics. And I always learn something from our participants. So thank you for playing. We are going to do this again next year. Please contact us to let us know if you'd like to be on the leadership team, if you'd like to write a scouting report, especially pediatric rheumatology fellowship programs. Please contact us. We would love for you to write a scouting report. As Angus's group and Belinda's group showed us, this you do not have to be a fellowship program to write a scouting report. We had two private practice groups write scouting reports. You do not have to be in the United States to write a scouting report. We would love international submissions. And so please, if you like Room Madness and you think it'd be a fun educational event for your group or your practice, contact us. You know, if you're just a person out there, you don't have anyone else that you're working with, you're a medical student, you want to get involved, just contact us and we'll find a way to get you plugged in. So we're looking forward to next year's tournament. And that's it for this season of Room Madness 2023, the All-Star season.
Thank you. Before we wrap up, I think on behalf of the leadership team, the Blue Ribbon panel, and every participant of Room Madness, thank you, David. This tournament is your blood, sweat, and tears. And we are all so thankful for everything that you've done for us.
Thank you, Guy. That's very nice of you.
You're here. Thanks, David.
I cannot believe this is my job to do this tournament. So that's the joy of my career. Thank you all. Okay, see you next year.